Isn't that a great tune? So Sarah Hurst is with us now. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Sarah is based locally in Brentwood, and you resolved your own health issues with nutritional therapy. She decided to train as a nutritional therapist with the internationally recognised Institute for Optimum Nutrition in London, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Sarah is a member of the British Association for Applied Nutrition and Nutritional Therapy, and is registered as well with the Complementary and Natural Healthcare Council. And she's also a friend of Phoenix FM because she's been on the station before. She's been on Mel's show, which is Body Talk on Wednesday. So good to have you back, Sarah.
Thank you.
So you're here to tell us a little bit about what you do and to help us talk about our theme today, which is eating well and feeling well. Tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been a nutritionist now?
I've been a nutritional therapist now for 4 years, so I qualified back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I was working full-time at the time when I was studying.
Okay.
So,
And so it was a transition from a long period of corporate work, if I remember reading on your website, into being self-employed and being a nutritionist.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
What got you into nutrition? What made you think about that was the thing that you wanted to go and do?
Well, as you said, I had some health issues myself. We're probably going back about 10 years ago now. I suffered from a condition called irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. A lot of people have probably heard of that now. And I went to see a nutritional therapist for help with that. And before that, nutrition hadn't really been part of my life. It wasn't something I had an interest in.
Yep. Food was just fuel at the end of the day or three times a day.
It was.
Yes.
And just going through the process myself, it sparked an interest in nutrition for me. And I found that all of a sudden every book I was reading was nutrition related. And I got really interested in it. And that's what prompted me to go ahead and study it.
For those that don't know, what are the symptoms of IBS?
Well, IBS is a term for a sort of a collection of symptoms, digestive symptoms. So it could be bloating, constipation or diarrhea, and that sort of thing. But really, it's a term given to any of those symptoms once other conditions have been ruled out. So once you know there's nothing else going on, but you've still got those symptoms, that's when it kind of gets given the term IBS. So it's a collection of symptoms related to digestion.
How long did it take for the nutritional work that you were doing with your therapist to change that? Did you see a quick turnaround, or was it?
When I went to see the nutritional therapist that I saw the first time, she put me on a three-month program, and I saw her monthly for that program, and it probably took... I guess within the first month I noticed some changes, but after 3 months the changes were quite dramatic.
So it's something that you can quite easily do by yourself at home. As you said, you saw a monthly.
Yes.
That's cool. And what were the changes that you felt? Did you just feel, did your symptoms completely go?
My symptoms got a lot better. I would say with IBS, from my perspective, it's never completely gone, but now I'm much more aware of what triggers it and how to manage it. So it was really a case of we determined what we felt had maybe caused it or was exacerbating it, and we dealt with that. And the symptoms now, I kind of know if they're coming on, I know what to look for now.
Absolutely. In regards to who you work with most yourself now, what type of people do you find yourself working with in your clinic and your practice?
Mostly women. I do see the occasional man, but mostly women. And I've kind of ended up specialising in weight loss almost by default, because a lot of the clients that come to see me want to lose some weight. But I do deal with lots of other things as well, but predominantly it seems to be weight loss.
Okay, fantastic. Do you find that someone might come with one complaint like weight loss, but other complaints like poor skin and insomnia that they perhaps didn't associate with anything to do with their diet might also clear up?
Absolutely, and that's a really interesting one, because I had a case like that with a client this week who I'm seeing for weight loss, and she's been seeing me now for 6 weeks, And she just said this week she's realised that she hasn't had a migraine in 6 weeks.
Really?
And she was getting them on a weekly basis.
Wow.
And she's only just realised now she wasn't.
Wow.
But it happens all the time when a client will come in and I'll go through some of their previous symptoms and say, oh, how's your indigestion? And they'll say, do you know, I'd completely forgotten about that.
Isn't it lovely when it just disappears like that and you just suddenly realise that it's gone? I've heard of cases like that myself, and you just sort of wake up one day and just think, actually, I haven't had that for a while. So you offer how many programs now at your practice?
I'm offering three different programs at my practice now. So the first one is obviously weight loss that we've talked about, and I sort of offer that as a separate program because I find that people need or people like to have a lot of support, so I tend to see clients more regularly when it's a weight loss client.
Is that because it can get to be a little bit of an emotional issue?
Yes, and especially at the start when people are making big changes to their diet and their lifestyle, they like to check in with somebody, and some clients like to be weighed as well, so I do that too.
Okay.
So that's the first one. The second really is nutritional therapy, so any other kind of symptom or health condition or anything that that somebody wants to look at with reference to nutrition would come under the nutritional therapy banner, and usually I would see clients monthly for nutritional therapy because it takes about a month to really see changes for anything other than weight loss. And I'm just about to launch a new program which is I hasten to call it anti-aging. It's going to be more healthy aging. So
we can call it youthing.
Or youthing, yes. That's a good one. So not just focusing on looking younger and looking well, but focusing on preventative measures for some of the conditions that we become more susceptible as we get older. So the type 2 diabetes,
increasing vitality,
the joint problems and osteoporosis and things like that. So really focusing on prevention.
Fantastic.
And staying well as we get older.
So what's the sort of age range for that then? Is that anyone that's, say, above 30 that's thinking about future, or are you specifically honing in on an age group there?
I think anybody. I think it's never too early to start, but it's also never too late to start as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it really doesn't matter what age you are. You know, you start where you are and do what we can from there.
Absolutely.
So any age, really.
Never too late to make a change, definitely not. So you mentioned weight loss. What's the difference between going to a nutritionist and going to a traditional slimming club?
Well, I think from my perspective, I teach clients not only what to do, but also why it's important.
Right.
And that makes such a big difference because I can explain to them the effects of what they were doing, what that was doing to their body, so they understand the ramifications of going back to their old ways. This is the effect it was having on your body. This is why you were getting those symptoms.
So you're essentially educating them.
And also they get one-to-one support if they come to see somebody like me. I do occasionally do groups, but they're very small, sort of between sort of 3 and 5 people, so you still get that individual support. And also what I teach my clients is how to make changes for life, and changes that fit into their lifestyle, so not a diet where you do it, you lose the weight and then you go back to what you were doing before. Just teaching people how to make long-lasting changes, which I think is the difference.
So can it be fun?
You know, I think it can. I think
because it would strike me that sometimes if you've got these perceptions, with weight loss case, if you feel that you've been big for a while, it could be quite stressful in the early days to think, I've got to get rid of my whole fridge and just stuff it with veg.
Well, I think first of all, I like to look at gradually implementing new things. So I wouldn't expect someone to come and see me and then give them a list of 20 things they have to do immediately. And I think getting people to sort of try new things can be quite exciting, try new foods. And sometimes people are surprised at the things that I tell them are healthy, because we've been sort of almost brainwashed as a society as what is or isn't healthy. And I have some recommendations I make that people are quite surprised that they can have them, and that quite often comes as a nice surprise.
Absolutely. I mean, things like fats, you have fats which are good for you, don't you?
Exactly.
Yes.
And a lot of people have the view that, you know, all fats are bad. And when I tell them they can eat nuts and they can eat avocados and all those things, it's actually quite nice.
Yes, very much so. So do you have any suggestions about what if you're on a budget or if you're busy? Because one of the things that I often hear is I just don't have time to cook from scratch. It takes ages to peel and chop and cook all those vegetables. So what about if you have a family and they're just really craving junk and cakes and all those kind of things?
Well, I think in taking the client's lifestyle into account has to be the most important thing.
Okay.
Because there's no point me giving somebody recommendations that realistically we know they're not going to be able to implement. I think for busy people, the most important thing is to get organised, plan ahead, cook in bulk at the weekends, freeze things, and do it that way so that in the week when you've come in from a hard day and you don't want to spend ages in the kitchen, you've got things there that are ready that you can just warm up
and maybe
whatever.
Salad in the fridge
and
ready
salads
to, yes.
Steaming vegetables takes 10 minutes.
It
really doesn't have to be. There are some very simple meals that don't take very long to cook. And as far as families are concerned, it can be a tricky one. But I think you educate one person and hopefully they educate the family. You know, if something's not healthy for you to eat, then it's not healthy for the rest of the family to eat.
And I think you lead by example. I've got an example of that I found on a blog coming up later, an extract from Tim Ferriss's. I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Ferriss. How when you start leading by example, then it just spirals out to the other members of the family. And if when you don't nag them as well, when you just share your passion, that helps. So there's a good example of that coming up later. So you must have seen some fantastic results.
I have seen
things
some
that really inspire
results.
You, I guess.
I've seen some great results with people from a weight loss point of view. Obviously, people losing quite a lot. And what you were saying about leading by example, people coming in and saying, "My husband's lost half a stone."
Really?
And he doesn't even realise he's been doing anything different just because he's been eating the same.
He's just
food
tightening his belt a bit more and thinking that I've enlarged his genes or something.
That's it. So there's some sort of good results almost by default that happen, and some really good results with people who are stressed. I deal with a lot of people that have a lot of stress-related symptoms, and just by changing what they eat and making sure they're getting the right levels of nutrients, which can be depleted during stress, enables them to handle the stress a lot more. If the stress is something that we can't do something about right now, then we look at increasing their ability to cope with the stress, and it's amazing what diet can do on that front as well.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. You sound like you really love your job.
I do. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So is it too much of a leap to think that everything you went through with your own health problems has actually led you to where you're going to be?
That's a really interesting question, because I always felt that I would go on to further study at some point and never had any clue what that was going to be. Maybe that was my path and I just didn't realise it at the time.
Wonderful. What's next for you?
Well, I'm actually studying at the moment to become a certified professional coach. And the reason I've done that, first of all, I've always had an interest in coaching for a long time. In fact, probably before my nutrition interest, I was interested in coaching. And I've realised from working with my clients in my nutrition business that people need help dealing with the obstacles that come along with making changes and incorporating coaching into my practice with the nutrition, and also as a standalone service, I think will just enhance what I already do.
Absolutely. We eat with our mind, I think, first before we eat what we eat on our plates. Can you suggest some quick tips that people might be able to take away with them, things that are simple and easy that they could start today to start being aware of what they're eating or maybe make some quick changes?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you've just said there is a really good one to start with, being aware of what they're eating. Being mindful with eating is so important.
Not eating in front of the TV.
That's it. Eating in front of the TV, and you start and then you realise you've eaten a whole bag of something and you don't even remember eating it. So
I have to hold my hand up here and say I do actually eat in front of the computer. I am terrible for that. I just eat at lunchtimes and things.
Eating when you're just eating, so sitting at the table or not having any other distractions, and just being mindful of what you're eating. slowing down when you eat, chewing your food properly, especially for people who do have any kind of digestive problems going on. Your digestion starts in the mouth, and if you've not chewed your food properly, you're setting yourself up for further problems.
I remember Deepak Chopra, I think he said, I might get the stats wrong here, but I'm sure he said that 2/3 of your digestion of your food comes from how you eat, and 1/3 is what you eat. I don't know if that's true, but I can well imagine from what you're saying, it is just slowing down, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an appreciation of your food and enjoyment of your food.
It makes a lot of sense. And you know, digestive enzymes are in your saliva, and so you're supposed to be chewing it properly. If whole food is getting down to your stomach, then that's not the way it's supposed to
and be. I guess also then not eating when you're upset. So if you just had an argument, don't go and then eat dinner or something. Or
exactly,
yeah,
or
in the middle of a
rush.
Stressful day at work, on the run. So yeah, it's really, really simple tips there. But I guess they're things that are going to have us thinking, how can I fit in some time just to take 10 minutes for lunch where I can just sit in the park or something and then just eat quietly. But it's simple ideas, but which might get us thinking about how we can structure that into our day.
That's it. And then another thing that's really helpful is to keep a food diary, especially if you are suffering from some symptoms that you're experiencing. I think keeping a food diary, but also noting down symptoms or your mood and anything like that, as well as what you're eating, can just help you see if there's any kind of pattern to what's going on.
Cool, wonderful. Well, where can we find you, Sarah?
Well, I'm based at the Brookmore Clinic of Complementary Medicine, which is on just on the corner of Sawyers Hall Lane, and you can find me online at rejuvenatenutrition.com.
Wonderful. Well, I've really, really enjoyed talking to you. It's been really educational and inspirational in points, because it's lovely to know that you can, with good support, make such big changes. And seemingly as well, quite an expensive change, because as you said, someone would only need to see you once a month, which is different from some of the other services that have been offered out there, aren't they?
That's it. Yeah, once a month. Yeah. And I always offer support in between, so you don't have to wait a month if you get stuck with something. But yeah, it works out less expensive in that way.
So that was Sarah Hurst. All details of that interview will be on phoenixfm.com. Now we're just going to have a little bit more music, and we're going to have Feeling I Thought It Was Over.